Green Acres Garden Podcast is the podcast that'll teach budding gardeners like you to grow your green thumb. For whether you're a newbie or a seasoned horticulturalist, you're sure to learn something new. Enjoy our conversations with community gardeners and gurus from Green Acres Nursery and Supply. We'll answer questions you didn't know you had. Welcome, everybody. So glad you can make it. All you beautiful botanists, all you gorgeous gardeners out there. Welcome to the Green Acres Garden Podcast. I'm so happy to be here. My name's Kevin Jordan, the happy horticulturalist. Also, your friendly neighborhood spider. I mean, your friendly neighborhood botanist. Can't give away my secrets. So this week, we're going to have some fun. But before we delve right into it, Austin, I want to talk harvesting with you. So I've been out in the garden. It is a beautiful time out in the garden right now. Now, I'm pretty stoked that it's summer break. And I remember being a kid really looking forward to summers off. I'm sure a lot of our listeners can appreciate that. But now being a teacher, having summers off, it's like I really look forward to summers off. And so right now I'm in the thick of it, but that actually takes me right back to school. So I've been in the garden, harvesting, maintaining, weeding, all that good stuff. But man, I'm talking peaches, pluots, apriums right now, the cotton candy apriums, Austin.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh.
Did I get one of those?
Because you did. I brought you a little care package.
Thank you so much.
Before we started, you'll have to go eat that when we finish. Berries, we got the boysenberries, blackberries, raspberries, Austin, raspberry. They're so good. Actually, it was great. Earlier, I had a cracker with some peanut butter, and I just put a raspberry on it and just smashed it with a knife.
That was your jam.
And it was instant jam, dude. It was like nothing added. So good. So, of course, the peppers are starting to come in. I'm noticing some tomatoes action. They're so close.
Got tomatoes.
I had my first tomato of the season. It was Golden Hour by the Wild Boar Farm tomatoes. Such a delicious little tomato, but he was alone. All of his friends, all the rest of my tomatoes in the garden, they're just right there. They're so close. So hopefully by next week, we can do some tomato talking. So it's just that perfect time of year. The weather's been really nice. Things are going to heat up pretty quickly, which is actually going to have to change my strategy and my garden trajectory a little bit. But I'm really excited because the harvest has been coming in heavy, frequently and fast. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an incredible summer.
That's so cool to hear, Kevin. And thank you, of course, for this delicious-looking bag of fruit you gave me. And the variety is what is so special. All these things you're listing, I can't believe you're getting that all at the same time. That's just so awesome.
Now, you'll have to smell those apriums, but like, just cut them up and just smell it before you even bite into it. Like, it smells like a flower, and it's so floral. It's so fruity. And they're around for like 10 days out of the year, Austin. So it's, for me, that's one of the pleasures of it. You grow it yourself.
Okay.
They don't travel very well. You can dehydrate them and, jam them up and do all things to preserve them. But really just grabbing one and just enjoying it. I'm telling you, man, it's magical. And there's like the pluots, the plums are coming in, the nectarines, the peaches. I'm making some cobbler this week. I'll have to post some video and some imagery of the cobbler in our Facebook, the podcast Facebook club group and whatnot, because it is, I'm telling you, fresh cobbler with those peaches, it will blow your mind. It's so good. That's what we garden. It's what we grow. We love getting out there and getting, kind of dirty and all that fun stuff, but really being able to kind of harvest, share that with people. We had some students out in the garden the other day, some new students I'd never met before. They're part of some summer, garden, some like a culinary program, and it's just so cool. Had them out in the garden, and a lot of the students there, they've never eaten fresh fruit for one thing, but let alone done it right from a plant, right from off the tree. And it was really cool to kind of be there to kind of witness that and to kind of help be part of that. It's really cool. That's why we love gardening and growing.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Thank you, Kevin. And I can't wait to eat this, the apium. I didn't know it was that special. That makes it even better. But before we get into our topic of the week, I actually wanted to bring up, Kevin, you were kind of just talking about the heat that's out there right now.
It's coming. It's looming, my friend.
And I know we haven't even really gotten to the how hot it's going to get. But I kind of got keyed into the questions that are coming into Green Acres from Garden Solutions, and people are getting burn on their tree. They're getting sun scald.
That's it. Yeah.
Already, I'm surprised. It must be kind of younger trees, I think, it's an issue with. But they're reporting that on the west side of their tree trunks, they're getting sun scald, and they're looking for solutions on how to fix it, make it better, prevent it. So I wanted to bring that to you, Kevin, so we could kind of throw it out there to everyone. If you've got a vulnerable tree out there, what should they do, Kevin?
So prevention is best. So how we do that with some of our fruit trees or other trees that are maybe sensitive, we actually paint them. We use a dilution of you know, 50-50 per so, half water, half latex. You use the interior white paint, really simple paint. You can get it anywhere. You can actually get paint that's pre-mixed at your nurseries that's just ready to rock. But essentially, it's 50% water, 50% paint. You're good to go. And you whitewash that on. And that's basically from the base about halfway up your tree or so, or basically the first few feet. And what that's going to do is it's going to act as a natural barrier to repel the sunshine and protect the little tree trunk in there. Because on these young trees, they don't really have an established canopy that's really going to protect it. Now, as a tree grows up, Austin, and gets a little more mature, you're not going to have to worry about it so much. So on all the fruit trees in our orchard right now, at one point, they were all painted, had their tree trunks painted. But now they're large. They've got really mature canopies. It's not even an issue. So another route you can go is actually if you don't want to get out the paintbrush, no problem. You can actually use a physical barrier called tree wrap. A broom, a boom, boom, boom. I said I go to the oak tree and I go to my redwoods. Boom. Okay.
Yes.
Not that kind of wrap, Austin. Oh, I'm just teasing. No, it's with a W. So and you just wrap it around. It's breathable. It's like a semi-permeable layer. So it's not going to choke out your trunk or hurt your tree. It's not going to girdle it like other material might. So this is also going to act just like the paint. It's just going to kind of block the sun's rays away a little bit and just protect all that sensitive bark and that trunk below. Like I said, these trees are young. Their bark really isn't established, isn't really thick enough to protect it. And the canopy itself isn't even there in a great enough quantity with the leaves and whatnot. So protect those young trees. Some trees you'll notice are a bit more sensitive than others. These flowering cherries can be very sensitive. So I've seen that before. We want to do is prevent all that from happening. Another way to do it is also with just proper watering. Nice, deep, infrequent waterings can be a great way to just have a nice, happy, healthy tree that's a little bit more resilient. You'll notice when your trees are getting baked in the sun and they're going dry, they're going to be not quite as resilient. A lot of these trees, they look like me at the end of the beach season, just a little crispy. So we don't want that, right? So protect them with either that diluted paint that I mentioned, right? 50-50, half water, half interior white latex paint, or you can use the tree wrap. Or you can just wrap to your trees. A-boom.
There we go.
Either way, you're good to go.
All right. Thank you so much, Kevin. Doesn't sound like it's too bad to prevent that. Now, let's go ahead and switch into our topic this week, Kevin, which is orchids, which is sort of a timely thing because I think a lot of people get orchids, a lot of moms out there. If you're a mom listening to the show, I wonder, did you get an orchid for Mother's Day this year? I bet a lot of people did, and it's about now those plants might start not looking so great.
Those blooms are fading.
Yeah. So what we're going to talk about is keeping those orchids blooming, keeping them alive, hopefully saving a lot of these Mother's Day orchids. What do you think, Kevin?
I agree. We are after this week's episode. We are hoping, folks, please work with us here. We are aiming to save as many orchids from the compost bin as possible. Just as Austin brought up, they're wonderful gifts. Mother's Day, any birthday gifts, you know, graduates and whatnot. Orchids, they are, I mean, you go anywhere, you'll see them just for sale, looking beautiful, in full bloom, ready to rock. So they're pretty ubiquitous. They're everywhere. You see them. They're beautiful. But you know what? I feel like they're a little bit too disposable. And let's change that. They are beautiful houseplants, and they are really easy to take care of. And you can actually, all those blossoms that people purchase them for, guess what? They come back. And you can have multiple sets of those each and every year. It's really easy to do. Actually, I'm enjoying two different orchids right now, Austin, that were gifted to us at our classroom.
Oh, cool.
People brought them in, that got them as a gift. They were dying or whatever. And these ones were really dying. They did not look good. They barely had any roots. We pulled them out, repotted them, got them going, did our thing. Fast forward a few months, and now each one has a flower spike. Looking gorgeous, has these like fuchsia pink blossoms, just full bloom right now, totally worth it. And the plants are bigger and healthier. It's kind of fun to see. So I really enjoyed it. I remember when we were out at the greenhouse out there with our good friend Cisco Darling and noticing her collection reclaimed orchids that she gets out there, brings them in, you know, doctors them up, gives them a little love, and then boom, the plants come back bigger and bountiful and more beautiful than ever. And then they just get cycled back in. And so it's just, they're great plants. I think we're going to delve into how easy it really is to enjoy them. We got a great guest this week with Heather, the assistant manager out there at the Elk Grove Nursery. And so it's just a great little interview where we can kind of hopefully take a break from the heat of that summer sun, come inside, maybe set our sights on our house plants a little bit. I don't know about you, Austin, but right now my house plants are feeling a little neglected. I've been spending so much time out in the vegetable garden, the orchard, that they're feeling a little lonely. So I'm going to give them a little attention this week.
I love that. Yeah, let's focus some love towards our orchids. And Heather's going to help break down how to take care of them, how to get them blooming, and how to save them from the compost pile. So let's go ahead and jump into that interview now.
Great, how are you today?
I'm doing great. So please tell our listeners who you are and what you do here.
I'm Heather McDonald Gayo. I'm one of the assistant managers here at Green Acres in Elk Grove, and so I do a little bit of everything, but I also have been growing orchids off and on for the last two decades, and was the founder and owner of the Slipper Talk Orchid Forum online, which is still in existence.
First and foremost, how do we care for an orchid? Where do we start?
Okay, well, if you receive an orchid or you purchase an orchid, really the first thing you want to do is look at the lighting in your house. And if you can figure out where the sun rises and if you have windows in that area, preferably an east or southeast facing window, in general, you can bloom an orchid there. So obviously there's more than 28,000 species and millions and millions of hybrid orchids. So depending on what you choose to grow, you might need to do a little more research. But for the basic things that you need, mostly just figuring out your sun is the biggest.
So they actually, by being the southeast or southwest or even the southern side of your house, so we're talking about a bright window with plenty of light.
Yeah, bright window, plenty of light. Some orchids will want to be closer to the windows, either because they want more light or they like a colder nighttime temperature. So I have certain things that I put right on my windowsills, whereas a lot of other orchids, just like our houseplants, are not going to want such close direct light, and you're going to want to space them further from the windowsill.
Our task this week is to save as many orchids from death as possible. Have you seen this before where people get them and then kind of just chuck it out? And what is the best way to really reinvigorate that orchid, bring it back to life, and maybe even potentially, fingers crossed, get some reblooms? Is it possible? And if so, what are we going to do to make that happen?
Well, so yes, of course, it's possible. Orchids generally are going to bloom anywhere from 3 to 6 months. And I think one of the things people don't realize when they get an orchid is that their orchid may continue blooming for many months from that point on, depending on how many buds it has that are not yet open. And that's not a great time to repot your plants. We get a lot of questions about that. It's much better to repot your plants after they finish blooming, so just enjoy the flowers. Don't even think about repotting it until after it's finished blooming. At that point, you have an orchid that's been putting a lot of energy into flowers. Growers are forcing these things to bloom, but once they're done, they need to put some energy back into growing their leaves and growing the plant. And then in probably about 6 months, once the next set of leaves is mature, then you'll get some more blooms if you have adequate light. This is also a great time to repot. It's time to get the orchid out of the pot, shake all of the mix off. Orchids do not like to grow in what we would call soil or any sort of potting soil for houseplants, because the vast majority of them are epiphytes, which means they grow on trees and rock outcroppings. They do not grow in the ground for the most part, and so they do like some air around their roots. So we tend to recommend a bark mix, and I would suggest you come and chat with us at Green Acres if you have really small plants, because we have specific requirements for those, since most of them come in a very wet moss when you get them as a gift or purchase them at the nursery. And so there are some precautions that you want to take when you switch from one mix to another. But you never want to use a regular houseplant potting soil for orchids.
What would you recommend I feed my orchids to hopefully get good root development, good leaf growth, and then eventually, hopefully,
some flower buds and some blossoms. What are we gonna do that?
Yeah, orchids aren't generally heavy feeders. You know, there's 28,000 species, so everybody likes things a little bit differently. A lot of these plants are getting nutrients and vitamins just coming down through the forest canopy, so it's usually a pretty weak mix of ingredients and vitamins for them. There's a lot of specific orchid fertilizers out there, but really just a basic balanced 10-10-10 or 20-20-20, and you can feed them, we like to say, weekly. So if your fertilizer says a teaspoon per gallon, maybe go to a quarter teaspoon per gallon and do that on a weekly or bi-weekly basis.
So week as in not strong.
Right, weekly on a weekly basis.
Awesome. So you brought up that they're epiphytes or epiphytic, so they grow up on trees or not down in the soil. I have to imagine watering has got to be crucial to their health. What does proper watering of our orchids look like?
That's a great question. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions is that orchids don't need a lot of water. I like to take my orchid pot to the sink and give it a good flush with either tap or filtered water at least once a week, depending on what your media is and how much sun and warmth you have. That for your orchid collection, you might need to water twice a week. For my orchid collection, I might need to water once. It just depends, but they do need a good soak once a week. Make sure that all the water drains out before you put it back in any sort of a cash pot. Most of them do not like to have their roots sitting in water, and that will eventually lead to the demise of the plant, because if there's no viable roots, then the plant can't take up any energy and will die. I strongly feel that just like the rat and the chef in Ratatouille, who said that anyone can cook, anyone can grow orchids. You really just have to have some good light in your house.
That's it. Anyone can grow. I love it. So what are, do you think, the biggest do's and don'ts that we've talked about? We can cover some ground that you've already talked about. What do you think are the most important do's and don'ts for a beginner orchid grower to consider?
When picking an orchid, don't pick the one with all the open buds, because it will be out of bloom sooner and you will have less time to enjoy the flowers. So pick one that has the fewest open buds and it will last longer for you, whether for yourself or as a gift. The most important really is the watering. They need a good drink, not an ice cube. And they need good light to bloom. If you think your orchid is dead and because it hasn't rebloomed, it probably needs to be moved to a brighter location.
Great advice, because I've noticed when I've had some, if when they're in the center of the room or they're in the shadiest corner, they stall out, and it looks like the plant is alive but not doing anything. But once I get it to a brighter window, you start to see those new leaves emerge, and then you kind of get excited.
Yes, and in fact, I just cut a couple spikes on some of my Phalaenopsis that were blooming, and they're all putting out new leaves immediately. As soon as you cut that spike, the plant can devote that energy to growth. So it really is important to give your plants a chance to rest. You also can grow them in a sunny room, and when they bloom, bring them back into a non-sunny room and enjoy them blooming, and then move them back to grow again.
That's what I'm doing right now, actually.
Because they're not all that exciting to look at, some of them, when they're not blooming.
Well, most of our houseplants, especially the ones you have here at Green Acres, they're gorgeous. I mean, their foliage, the leaves, the variegation, the different shapes and the texture, they're gorgeous, and the plants can kind of be appreciated just on their leaves alone. Orchids, leaves are pretty plain, but the blossoms, they're breathtaking. We have some right now. I wish our listeners could see it. This one, they're just gorgeous. I mean, they look like they've been painted by, a masterful artist, and they look unreal. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I also want to mention the fact that, we tend to have three main types of orchids that we see, Oncidium, Dendrobium, and Phalaenopsis, but there are many, many more out there, and they're even more fascinating, I think, including the Neophenicia falcatas, which are prized for their variegated leaves, much more than for their blossoms. Those are Japanese orchids that were known as the samurai orchid because only the samurai class could grow them at one point in Japan. And now they have shows that are just for the foliage, and they could care less in Japan about the actual flowers of the orchids. So there's really something for everybody. There's a lot of small, tiny little species that grow really well in cases. And I know we have a lot of our houseplant enthusiasts who have IKEA cabinets and
I keep seeing
are
that online.
Growing under lights and with artificial environments that they've set up. And you can grow orchids in those environments as well.
So Heather, so before I leave you, is there any last message you have for our listeners to maybe get that last little push of encouragement to start their own orchid garden at home?
If you get an orchid, really just relax and enjoy the flowers and do a little research on what you like about it and see if you can find some other things online that look as exciting and, you know, take risks. They're not difficult to grow. Anybody can do it.
Thank you so much for making some time for us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I'm always available to talk about orchids at Green Acres.
All right, we are back from our interview with Heather. Thank you so much, Heather, for being a great guest. I can't believe we hadn't talked to you yet. So thanks for schooling us up on orchids. Now, Kevin, how did you think that went? Did we cover everything we need to know about orchids?
You know, we got a good taste.
Yeah.
You know, we got, as always, a little scratch on the surface. With orchids, there's so much to learn. It's like one of those things where I think it's a daytime to learn, a lifetime to master. And it really depends on what you're optimizing for. So I love the tips, the techniques. You could tell that Heather really knew her stuff. And she is passionate about growing orchids. She was talking about her own collection and, mm-hmm. Hunting down all these rare varieties and kind of always on the search for something new and exotic. And it kind of just got me thinking, like, man, there are so many different plants out there.
Yeah.
And orchids are just a great, example of that. And it's fun to find all these different people who just have this really just unique connection to some living organisms, and it just affects their life in such a positive way. It's really fun. I learned quite a bit. Like, if anything, once you learn a little bit about something like orchids, it just leads to more questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm at now, is I've got some questions answered. Now I kind of want to grow some more orchids, maybe get, my hands on some other varieties that I think I can play with, because I got bitten by the bug and there's no going back.
Oh, that's great.
So I'm into it. Orchids are gorgeous. I mean, I'm already converted, for sure. I mean, they're so beautiful. And for me, they really have been really one of the easier things to take care of. And so I think when it comes to gardening and plants, easy to take care of, I'm into it.
That's a plus.
Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah,
and they're
totally
fun. And when they finally do bloom, it looks otherworldly. And then you just get this wonderful sense like, ooh, I helped do that. And your plant kind of thanks you for it with just this beautiful display. That's actually somewhat long lasting for a plant. Orchids display quite long. So I think there's a lot to be had there. I love it. And hopefully we can have some more orchid talk in the future.
All right. Yeah, I totally agree. And I hope our listeners out there, take care of your orchids. Don't let them bloom and then throw them out. Take care of them and they'll come back and over. And that's just the beauty and the joy of it. You could really impress your friends and your family by keeping those orchids alive.
Yes. Now, don't give up on them.
Yeah. Never give up. Never surrender.
Absolutely.
Kevin, that's it for this week. Go ahead and take us out.
Well, thank you so much, Heather. I had a blast talking with you. Thank you, Austin. It's been another great week. Thank you, all of our listeners, for showing up. I really appreciate it. Until next week, garden friends, I got to get back out in my own garden. There's so much harvesting to do, and I hope all of your tomatoes are plump and juicy, friends. Until next time, happy gardening to you all, and please never stop growing.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of Kevin Jordan or his guests. These gardening tips and suggestions may work for you, as well as those from alternative sources. When using any garden products or tools, read and follow all label directions. And learn how to save water while gardening at bewatersmart.info.